Philippians chapter 4 is probably a favorite for a lot of us. I know it is for me. Start with me in verse 11, where it says this: I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. 35 years ago, Jan and I were playing the original Nintendo. Can you hear that theme song? I can hear that theme song in my head. Every time I hear that theme song, it takes me back to that night on January the 21st when we were sitting on that Sunday night waiting for Jan to go into labor with our first child. When Laura was born, she was absolutely perfect. Any of you parents say an amen to that? I mean, she was perfect. Now, she was colicky and didn't sleep through the night for 9 months. And she had what the doctor called a crying hour, which meant that she screamed and cried as if her life was ending from 10 p.m. until 12 p.m. or 12 a.m. The first 6 months of her life, every night. No medicine, no nothing that we ever tried slowed that one down. But she was perfect. She was an amazing baby. We were so delighted with her. But I didn't want her to stay a baby forever. We were amazed with her as a toddler. She learned to walk and talk, and she hadn't stopped talking since then. And she did great in preschool, but we didn't want her to stay as a toddler. I could not have been more proud of that girl when she was in elementary school, but I didn't want her to stay there. I have said repeatedly, I have loved every season in my children's lives, and I think every season just gets better and better and better. And today is Laura's 35th birthday, which is impossible, but it is. And I am so amazed and proud of the woman that she is, but I really can't wait to see what's next. I've always been contented with who my children are, but I've never been satisfied with who they are. John Rockefeller was probably the richest person in modern history. He was the only billionaire in the early 1900s, richest man in the world. He was asked by a reporter, how much is enough? And in that famous quote, he said, just a little bit more. He was never, ever contented. Benjamin Franklin said, contentment makes poor men rich. Discontent makes rich men poor. I like January, not because it's five below outside, but because it's a great time for review and reflection. I know it's when a lot of us do goal assessment and goal setting, and I think it's a really great time to push forward because we should not be satisfied with today. A friend told me recently that he had just completed losing 30 pounds coming into January, and he was well on his way to achieving some weight loss goals and some other health goals. And I'm like really excited for him. But the Bible takes that kind of conversation a bit further. The Bible reminds me that God doesn't want us just to get by or just to survive, but God really wants for us to thrive. Take this, thrive in 2025. I like hokey and memorable, and I really believe that. God is calling us right now to lean into life, to embrace who we are, to be content, but with God's help to press forward. In Philippians 4, Paul said he had discovered the secret of contentment. The Philippians were facing some problems. All God's children have problems, right? I bet if we took them a moment, everybody here would say what hurts and what doesn't work and where we're struggling and all the problems that we have, and they're legit and they're real. The Philippians were facing problems. Even choosing to follow Jesus had created some problems for them. They were being harassed by the government. Some of their families weren't supportive. Paul wanted to be there with them and to be personally encouraging to them, but he couldn't because, as was often the case for him, he was in prison. So he wrote them a letter. Now, think about this. How many of you would say, you know, Alan, my life is so bad right now. I need someone from prison to write me a letter and to encourage me.
Yeah.
That gives me a little bit of perspective, anyway. Paul said one of the pivotal places where we can grow forward is learning. I like learning for me, learning contentment. One man said, contentment is an attitude in my heart that says, I will live in joy today with what God has given me while passionately pursuing where He is calling me to keep going. I like that. See, I really believe God wants us to be deeply, profoundly contented, but not satisfied. Now, I think that's a subtle distinction. I think it's difficult to define, and I think it's even harder to live out. For my understanding, contentment isn't even remotely laziness. It isn't a lack of drive. It isn't a lack of initiative. Paul's secret is the secret. He said, when I'm depending on Jesus, I can be content, but not satisfied. Paul was in jail, a Roman prison. He was contented, but he wasn't satisfied with being there. He wanted out as soon as he could get out. And he was content with the churches, but he wasn't satisfied with the progress that they were making. He always wanted more people to know Jesus. He always wanted the people who knew Jesus to grow deeper in their relationship with Jesus. You know, when I started looking at this theme of contentment, it really is interesting to me because it's laced throughout the scripture. One of the interesting places is in the Song of Solomon. The woman says in Song of Solomon 8:10, I have become his eyes like one bringing contentment. I can be content in my marriage, but not satisfied. You know, I'm not looking for a new wife. And I'm pretty sure Jan is not shopping for a new model either. I'm content, we're content, but I'm still not satisfied with the quality of our relationship. Jan's been my best friend forever, but I know that I can appreciate her more, that I can value her more, that I can treat her with greater respect, treat her more lovingly. I'm content, but I'm not satisfied. What really impacts me is seeing that contentment is an acquired skill. I don't have to be born with contentment, and it's not an unattainable goal. Verse 11, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever my circumstances. Paul learned contentment. A while back, I was corresponding with this guy who was in jail, and he deserved to be in jail. He acknowledged that he deserved to be in jail, but he didn't like being in jail. And he was working to learn contentment. Now, at the same time, I'm visiting and having these conversations by mail with this guy in jail. I'm having these pastoral conversations with this guy. And this guy is complaining to me that his life is boring and his boss is difficult. He feels like he's stuck on a treadmill. And his words, he said, I just feel like I'm trapped with no way out. And I'm thinking, okay, the contrast here is incredible because the guy I would consider having a great life is profoundly discontented. The guy in jail was discovering how to be positive. He was serving, he was growing, and he was content. He didn't like jail, but he was learning contentment. Contentment is hard, but I think the hardest thing to learn about contentment is that contentment isn't dependent on my circumstances. Look at verse 12. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I'm pretty convinced that contentment is almost a secret because most of us attach contentment to our circumstances. But Paul clearly says we can be content in really difficult circumstances, or we can learn to be content in really great circumstances. I mean, he literally said he was content even when he didn't have enough to eat. We know that in Roman prisons, the government didn't always feed you, and if your friends didn't bring you food, you might starve. Paul was content when he was short on food. So the secret of contentment is not improving my circumstances. You know, if you're content in this marriage, or if you're not content in this marriage, you probably won't be in the next one. If you aren't content in this job, you probably won't be content in the next job. If you're not content in whatever your circumstance, you probably won't be content when you change your circumstances. That really impacts me. And now this next piece really feels like, initially it felt like to me a detour, but as I look at it, I'm realizing this is so integral to what Paul was trying to communicate, because contentment is really, really encouraged in community. In verse 14, he says, "Yet it is good," or "it was good of you to share in my troubles." Now I look at the Apostle Paul and I see this incredible independent man who went around founding churches, including the one he's writing to there in Philippi. But he embraced this church and he embraced their support. He said he would get by if they didn't support, but he loved experiencing their emotional, spiritual, and financial support. I mean, he really, really reminds me that we really need one another. I love my church family. I learn contentment from being with other people who are learning contentment. Birds of a feather really do flock together. Whoever I spend time with, I'm going to become more like them. I love hanging out with people who are sacrificing their time to serve Jesus, to be together learning about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. I love spending time with people who are giving their time and talents and money to care about others and to point other people to Jesus. Together, we are learning Paul's secret of contentment. And what is it? Well, I'm absolutely convinced that he's saying that contentment flows from a relationship of faith and trust in Jesus. I can do all this through the one, through Christ, who gives me strength. Now, I know we would give that answer even before I said anything, but just lean into that for a minute. Contentment is found when I really trust Jesus. It isn't dependent on what I drive or what I wear. It doesn't matter what school I attend or teach at or what my position or title is at work. My contentment flows from my relationship, my trust, my faith in Jesus. Paul was in jail, and he knew that Jesus was right there with him. So he was learning the secret of contentment. He trusted Jesus, so he was content. My hope is that all of us this year dive a little deeper into the secret of contentment. Because I'm just so incredibly aware, as you know, now a not so young pastor, that even in the church, we are captivated by competition. We're not just dissatisfied, but we are continuously struggling with burnout and with disillusionment. Church hurt is one of the new words of the day. And contentment, it is really, really simple, but it is so incredibly difficult to learn. I am learning the secret of contentment. And my prayer for all of us is that we do so even more richly and deeply this year. God bless you.